about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guest in just a few moments. But as we start off, we invite you to look for this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Begin 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verses 1 through 17, all of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you, Father, for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, you are all of this and so, so much more. Thank you, Lord, for how that you've equipped us for the last days to be vessels you can use to accomplish your will, to be bright, shining lights and witnesses in the world. Lord, stir your people to be courageous enough to stand up and speak out and to shine for you no matter what the odds, no matter what the circumstances. Help us to know, Lord, that as the world gets darker and darker, your people will get brighter and brighter as we simply obey you, follow you, and serve you faithfully. We thank you and praise you, Lord, and guide us so that every listener, every believer, more and more will seek to just be your vessel where you've called him or her, knowing that you can always use us if we simply will remain faithful. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to remind you once again of a couple prayer initiatives, some projects we'd like to encourage you to be a part of. And keep in mind, these are things we're encouraging you to do, and they don't necessarily have to be something you report to us or anyone else other than the Lord, because God's calling all of his people to pray. God calls us to be a people given to prayer. In fact, he refers to the church as being the house of prayer. That's who we are. That's our true identity. We're to be a people given to prayer. So we're encouraging you to get involved with the Jehoshaphat Prayer Challenge. And of course, that draws from the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the story of when King Jehoshaphat calls the nation of Judah together in a time of national crisis and brings the nation together to pray and seek God's face. We're inviting you to take time to take the initiative as an individual believer, to come together as husbands and wives, as parents with children. Have special times of prayer in your home, additional extra times of praying beyond what you normally would do. Also invite other people to come over to your house and pray together, and have prayer gatherings, additional prayer gatherings beyond what you already do with you and your church family, but specifically praying for our nation, praying for leadership, praying for the upcoming election, praying for God's grace and mercy to be at work in our nation, praying for God to bring about revival and renewal in our nation. And if you'd like to get in touch with us and share with us what the Lord's doing, great. But again, that's not required. The important thing is that you pray and seek God's face. We need to be a people given to prayer. And also, we We're inviting you to be a part of a project that we call Praying in the Garden. We're inviting you to come, and be a part of a prayer project that's happening in the Garden of Hope, a prayer garden right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. For the month of August, we're inviting churches and or prayer groups or even families to sign up for one day to come and to be there at 6 p.m. And it's for 7 days a week for the entire month of August. Just sign up for a 6 p.m. slot of time to come and pray in the garden. Again, to some of those same issues. And, of course, we have some prayer tools we'd like to email to you. But you're by no means obviously required to use them. You're welcome to use them. But if you feel impressed to move in a different direction, that's great. But the important thing is to get involved. Again, the prayer garden is at 100 Parkgate, right behind Parkgate Pregnancy Clinic here in Tupelo. And if you'd like to be a part of that, you can simply call us at this number, 1-662-844-5036, extension 381. You can sign up for a time slot. And again, now if you wish to come but you can't work that time out and just want to come at another time, you're welcome to come. The garden is open, again, any day of the week, and you'd be welcome to come anytime. But we are seeking to get churches or groups signed up specifically for the 6 p.m. slot. So if you'd like to contact us again, that number is 1-662-844-5036, extension 381. And my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. If you and your church can get involved, we certainly hope that you can. We're grateful to have today in studio with us Pastor Kevin Armstrong. Pastor Kevin is the pastor of the King's Dome Worship Center here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And just grateful to have him with us today. Pastor Kevin, welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be here.
Good to have you once again.
Amen.
And I've had the privilege of knowing Pastor Kevin for a long time.
Yeah.
And has been a warrior for the Lord for a long time as well. And specifically, Pastor Kevin, I wanted to ask you to come in today. And, part of what we'll be doing today, of course, is talking about some different issues that we face as a nation and in our local community as well. But as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll tell our listeners a little bit more about you and the church you pastor and just some of the priority issues your church is addressing right now.
Okay. Well, with the churches, the King's Dome Worship Center, formerly still the Kingdom Seekers Church, and we're almost 15 years old. Actually, September 1st, we started back in 2001, so this will be the 15th year.
And, happy birthday, praise the Lord.
Yeah, and that time has flown by, I can tell you that, and we're grateful for the lives that we've seen change. You know, the name, I think, whether it's the King's Dome Worship Center or Kingdom Seekers Church, the kingdom implies, you know, what our methods are in Jesus. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what we've endeavored to do over those years, and actually even before that, is to, you know, put the kingdom of God first place. Matthew 6:33, you know, that's the foundational scripture for our church, is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things you need will be added unto you. And so what we've done is to do our very best to teach people what the kingdom is and how to seek it. And it simply means seek to see, seek to hear, and seek to understand. And Christianity and the kingdom, there's such a big gap between the two. And much of the issues that I believe that we're having in the world today is because the church does not understand the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the church is not the kingdom, and the kingdom is not the church. And so when the church doesn't understand its source or its reason for being, then it can't fulfill its purpose. And so we've been called many things bad, you know, because we promoted the kingdom of God over the years and stood mm-hmm. steadfast, never took a step back, and been, you know, vilified even in this city by some local pastors. But now they say, well, Pastor Kevin, you were right. It is about the kingdom. And we've been preaching church for years, and nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. And when the kingdom is preached, everything's changed. Everything changed. And I believe that when the church, you know, when the church does that, then that's when we'll see the world begin to change. And so we're entrepreneur-minded church. We believe that ministry is to be done outside of the four walls of the church. Jesus did not spend his time inside of a synagogue. He spent his time out among sinners and among common people. those that the religious, quote unquote, religious people didn't want anything to do with. That's where Jesus spent his time at. And so light shines brighter in darkness. And so when we've endeavored to do that, we've endeavored to accept people nobody else want. I mean, if they don't want the drug dealers or all people who are, you know, the wretch in society, as they're called, we'll take them because we believe that everyone has purpose. And if we can help people discover that purpose, develop that purpose, and then disseminate that purpose into the world that they live in, we believe the world will be a better place. And so, and again, you know, we've endeavored, my wife and I, you know, we've been responsible for some legislation, got some legislation passed here in the state of Mississippi back in 2005. We've been responsible to create more than 3,000 jobs statewide, several hundred first-time entrepreneurs, and then we're traveling all over America talking about economic liberty and occupational licensing and how the government is overstepping its reach into the private arenas of people, individuals, stopping them from starting businesses, preventing them from growing their businesses. So we're actually become doing some advocacy work in those arenas as well, headed to Orlando end of the month, being and then New York in September. We've been in Dallas, D.C., Kansas City, Pittsburgh. But we're doing kingdom work, and that's what it is. And we're grateful, for the opportunity that God's given us. So, yeah.
Would you take time now to pray specifically for believers to grow in the understanding of the concept of the kingdom of God? Because obviously it's a biblical term, very much so. Jesus preached the kingdom.
Yeah, that's all he preached. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yet a lot of believers don't grasp. Would you pray for that?
Yeah, Father, we just thank you. And not only is it did Jesus preach it, but it was what you established in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So you said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. And dominion is a royal term, which meant that you established a kingdom before you created Adam and Eve and sat them in that physical world. But your kingdom was the spiritual government. And then you said in Isaiah 9 concerning Jesus, for unto us a son is born, a child is given. And you said, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and the government and the shoulders are in the body. That means that the government is to be upon the church, and which is your kingdom. And so I pray, Father, for those who are listening, that we will seek to discover the reality of what the kingdom of God is. And it's not the church. And Jesus did not preach to church. As a matter of fact, the word church, I think, is only used two times in the four Gospels.
Thank you.
But the word kingdom is used hundreds of times. And so, Father, we're missing it in that area. And I pray that we will that you'll give us a revival in our understanding of what the kingdom of God is. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Changed my life. 1990, got introduced to, got born again in 1981. And heard the kingdom of God, message on the kingdom, and it literally changed my life. And Jesus said in Matthew 13, it's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, it leavened the whole lump. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And, when once you get it, you'll never be the same. Mm-hmm. You'll never be the same. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we're coming up on a break in just a moment. But on the other side of the break, I want to talk about some issues that are on your heart as it relates to things we as the church, as the people of God in the kingdom of God, are supposed to be addressing. And, you know, just the whole, you just touched on it, the concept of believers sometimes making the huge mistake of thinking, well, Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. Well, tragic that people even start to think in that direction. But we want to pick up on those and a few other issues that we really need to be addressing as the church in this age. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're grateful to have Pastor Kevin Armstrong as our in-studio guest. We'll be right back after this break.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy, with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening. The Awakening. Shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening. The Awakening. Encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening. The Awakening. Hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
I had an opportunity recently to speak at a Women's Day program. As part of the message, I shared the story of Hannah and Penina. Those two ladies shared a husband. The difference was Penina had children and Hannah did not. The Lord had caused her to be barren. Penina thought it was her job to make Hannah miserable every single day of the year. She picked at her and tormented her for a very long time until one day, Hannah got herself together and went to church. She worshiped so hard that Eli, her priest, thought she was drunk. Let me just encourage you in the Lord today that if you're in a situation where you've been struggling and fighting something that has been nagging at you, get up from the table, get yourself together, and go lay it at Jesus' feet. Worship Him and allow Him to take the helm. You don't have to announce what you're doing. Just do it and watch God take a barren situation and turn it around. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Hypocrisy abounds when it comes to politics. But hypocrisy is never more abundant than during political campaigns. Here's two examples that can't go unchallenged. Emily's List is an extreme pro-abortion group supporting extreme pro-abortion candidates. They've announced a website opposing Donald Trump and labeled him anti-women. This is the same group supporting aborting girl babies solely because they're female. Hillary Clinton, while speaking to the NAACP, said, "We cannot rest until we stop the killings of African Americans." But Hillary supports Planned Parenthood that targets women of color for abortion, the leading cause of death in the black community over all other causes combined. Hypocrisy is alive and well in politics.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Covenant Church, Covenant Church with Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. In studio, our in-studio guest today is Pastor Kevin Armstrong, pastor of the King's Dome Worship Center here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Pastor Kevin, during this session, I'm going to ask you just to share some things on your heart. What are some things that that are on your heart that you wish to speak to the church about these days?
We mentioned it earlier. I think, you know, the church is as divided today, and particularly in America, and I wouldn't probably not today, but it's divided. But it's as visible as I've seen it, and much of it is because of the lack of understanding of the church and the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we won't get off on this. I'll take your whole show up, Brother Joseph. But you know, all of the race issues and the things that we've got, that, you know, the blacks or white and stuff and all that's going on, you know, this, first of all, is not a flesh and this is, we're not in a flesh and blood fight.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. When the church does not understand that, but yet you engage in it. 2 Corinthians 10:4, you know, 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, weapons of our warfare, not carnal, the mighty through God. So it's a spiritual fight, but when the church, black and white, does not understand that we are not in a physical fight, but it's a spiritual fight, we automatically lose. That mm-hmm. concerns me. So Jesus says in Matthew 12, any house, any city, or kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, mm-hmm. but shall come to desolation. Notice the levels of relationship, house, city and kingdom, and that covers the entire country. Mm-hmm. And he said it cannot stand but come to desolation. And then he says, and if Satan is divided against himself, how then can his kingdom stand? And so it appears to me that the church hasn't really understood that. Much of that is because of where the church is in its understanding of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. In the kingdom, Jesus is the king. He is the head of the body of Christ. So the church is the body of Christ according to the scripture, the church, mm-hmm. which is the head, which is his body. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. Well, the head tells the body what to do. The body That's does right. not tell the head what to do. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a body that one of your left hand is doing what it wants to do and your right hand is doing what it wants to do whenever it wants to do it, that's called crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's not under the control of the head. And that's where the church is today. In racism, that's why the church is black, the church is white, the church is Republican, the church is Democrat, the church is conservative, the church is liberal. And as long as we are divided, Jesus said, we can't stand. We're going to come to desolation. And so what we're fighting with, the weapons that we have are not being used to our advantage because of the division that's in the church. And that concerns me. And it's not just a concern that I have presently. It's a concern that I've had for a long time. Mm-hmm. And because the church is the most powerful entity in the world. And Psalms 103 says, "In God's kingdom rules over all kingdoms." But that's the, mm-hmm. the power source of the church is the kingdom. But if the church doesn't understand that, then we're going to remain separate and divided. So what happens when you understand the kingdom, you understand then that Jesus calls the shot.
That's right. That's right.
Pastors don't call the shot. Mm-hmm. Presidents don't. The king, he's the king of the king. He calls the shot. And we do what he tells us to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, work for him.
And we work for him. And when if you don't, the king just says off with his head and it comes off. You mm-hmm. know, there are no arguments. Ecclesiastes 6:8 says, or 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there's power. And who shall say unto him, why have you done or did such? And you don't question the king's authority or dominion. But what we have in the church, because we don't understand the role of the kingdom, then you have all of these people with all of these different opinions. We can do this and we can like this person. And if we don't like this one. And so now we have the mess that we are faced with in America. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and you know, as it relates to looking at the where we are in our nation, as it relates to this upcoming presidential election, there's so many issues that as believers we're supposed to be approaching from a Bible perspective,
absolutely.
A kingdom perspective.
Absolutely.
Yet you have lots of people that will say they're believers,
yeah.
but they're approaching from all different
yeah.
directions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, and I shared with you, I was in conversation with a young man earlier, and we were, because I posted some things out on Facebook, and from a black man having a conservative viewpoint, you know how how you the backlash you get from that, and mm-hmm. But my viewpoint is not so much conservative as it is kingdom,
right?
And as I was sharing with him, is we have to be looking at principles mm-hmm. as it relates to who we, you know, and I, you know, my book, you got a copy of my book. I mm-hmm. wrote it back in 2008. How would Jesus vote? And now everybody, you know, Ted Cruz says, vote your conscience. Well, one of the chapters in my book is that our job is to vote our conscience. That's how you choose. Well, who controls the conscience when you're under the authority of the Lord? Mm-hmm. He does.
Right.
So the Holy Spirit will lead you, and we always go away from this when it, you know, everything else we'll trust the Lord in everything else as it relates other than politics. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Proverbs, mm-hmm. lean not unto your own understanding, but in how many of your ways?
In all your ways.
Of it. Does that include politics?
Politics.
Not
and
to
all
some
the rest.
People. Not to some people. No, mm-hmm. not to some people. All your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So, mm-hmm. but we don't give God an opportunity to do that because we've been so polarized by Fox and CNN, mm-hmm. by our denominations, by our skin color and all of those things that's come to seek to divide us, that it's difficult to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And I tell you, brother, mm-hmm. God is not schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
He's not telling you to vote Democrat and telling me to vote Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he is, I don't want to serve him. Because mm-hmm. he says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if God is unstable, we are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he speaks with one voice. He has one mind. Mm-hmm. And the reason the church is so in such trouble is because we can't hear his voice. And Jesus said, mm-hmm. my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And what's mm-hmm. happening that the church is following so many different voices, and they're calling him God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, and so, and when you, and as it relates to voting, and you got, you know, just because you've been Democrat for all of your life, and you got a person, or Republican, and you got a person that's completely against God, and you'll stand in that voting booth and still support them, something's wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think of this too, that, you know, we were speaking about hearing the voice of God, and of course, God speaks by his Spirit.
Yeah.
And God speaks primarily by his word as well as his spirit.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, one of the huge issues it's a huge issue, but sadly in this day and time, it's not considered one. It's the life issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the need for us as the church to stand for life and stand against the tragedy of abortion.
Absolutely.
Well, sadly in this election, it's not a big issue.
Yeah.
And it should be
huge.
And
it should be.
Because the fact is, babies stand as like a race to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in this election, they don't matter.
Yeah,
it's okay for them to be slaughtered and butchered, and yeah. like it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and you know, and I say this even to in the black community because, and I say I don't know if it's misinformation or but we do understand, and I was sharing with you earlier, but you know, Pastor Mel and I are traveling all over the country, and we're in groups that there's, and we're just the only African American people there, and all of this, these are nonpartisan. You know, events that we're at, and these are people who are concerned about what's going on in the country. They're fighting for the rights of blacks, white. They're fighting for the rights of Americans, mm-hmm. and there are no black people there. And so the information's not getting to our community. Mm-hmm. As a result of it, you're left with making decisions based upon antiquated ideas. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and until you get a different set of ideas, you'll continue to do the same things you've been doing.
That's right.
Black people are conservative in their views.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to voting, they're Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
That's because of tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But the Republicans has done a very, very poor job mm-hmm. of engaging black people with their ideals. They have, mm-hmm. I mean, this is documented. Even, you know, I had, was in the meeting with Senator Rand Paul, we in D.C. once, and then in Memphis, he met with a group of pastors. I was back a group of black pastors, and I asked him. I said, you know, so what? You're running around the country. This is before he announced he was going to run for president. This is two years ago, I guess. I said, you're going all over the country, and you're meeting with these black pastors. I said, how's your party feel about that? And he said, well, I'm not getting any backlash. But he was doing what needs to be done. He was reaching out, letting them see that, you know, that we're not the racist party that people have painted us to be. Mm-hmm. And but because that has been this idea that has been portrayed to the black community, mm-hmm. then anything Republican, black people run away from it, whether it's good or bad.
Well, you know, Pastor Kevin, it's helpful for us to understand that, like, the reality is in our world, in our culture, and in life, spiritual warfare is all over the place.
Sure.
That's the way life is.
Yeah.
And one of the tools that, well, actually, they're tools on both sides. They're strongholds.
Yeah.
They're spiritual strongholds that line up with the word,
yeah,
which is a good thing.
Right.
And there's strongholds that line up against the word, which is
right.
a bad thing.
Right.
We have lots of strongholds of deception where people mm-hmm. are misled and misguided by different things. And much of that comes from, well, one of the issues is when people, believers, don't study the word.
That's
and
exactly.
not guided by the
that's
word of God.
That's right, Pastor Joseph. Yeah.
And not listening to the Spirit
Absolutely.
Of God.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. one yeah. of the realities you think of, for example, you're talking about parties. Well, a lot of black folks don't realize the party that freed the slaves was the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Well, again, I think of this like me, myself, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat.
Nope, me either.
I try to preach the word of God.
Right.
But the fact is, it's important for us to know that like we're not to get our theology from our political party.
No.
It's to come from the word of God.
It comes from the word of God.
And the Spirit of God.
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so understanding truths like that, and also just the fact is, this is true as well. It's tragic that, again, the life issue is not a bigger issue in this election because the reality is, you think of the organization Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most wicked organizations in the
Absolutely.
World. They one of the main things they do is destroy babies through abortion.
Yep.
And they make huge amounts of money all by themselves.
Yep.
Yet on top of that, they get just shy of $2 million every single day from the U.S.
from
government.
The government.
Now they don't really need that.
Right.
They don't need that
right.
because they make lots of money without that.
Yeah.
But they still get it.
Yeah.
And as deep in debt as we are as a nation.
Right.
The government still finds just shy of $2 million
right.
every day to give to a wicked organization.
Right.
They're a private organization. But our government gives that money to them to do with, and the main thing they do is kill babies.
And the majority of them are African American.
The
great majority of them are African American.
And it's so tragic.
Yeah.
Lots of deception because, again, if they really understood who they are and what they're
right.
about.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the money that they spend and, the systemic poverty that exists in black communities and poor communities, white and black, the money that they're spending to murder babies. I mean, what could that money be used to alleviate those impoverished situations? But unfortunately, you have those folks who refuse to use their vote in a different way, and they'll continue to do that until they get a different set of ideas. So the narrative has to change. And if it doesn't change, then they're going to keep doing the same thing that they've been doing. So I read this. It was Psalms, I think 106:38 says, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, mm-hmm. whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with their blood. That's abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and God, and when we're shedding innocent blood, I mean, if Abel's blood cried out from the ground, can you imagine the blood of these millions of babies since 1973, Roe versus Wade was legalized, that's crying to the ground, but you're right, and it has to be more African American people stand up and see this for what it is and be able to use any public platform that they have and speak out against it,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so that we can actually get that information to the ears of other people so they can start seeing it differently.
That's right. Well, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments once again, but I would mention on the other side, want us to spend some time really praying for God to really open eyes and hearts to his truth. Because, when it's all said and done, after a while, whatever happens at the end of the election, God is God.
Yeah.
And what matters is God's word and what the will of God is and whether or not it's getting done. Because after a while, again, everybody on this earth, if Jesus doesn't come back first, sooner or later, we're going to leave this earth.
Yeah.
And what matters is what does God want?
Yeah.
What is God's will? What is the kingdom of God accomplishing or wanting to accomplish in this hour? God's will is supreme over all these
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph with our in-studio guest, Pastor Kevin Armstrong. We'll be right back.
Karen, a wife, a mother, a business owner. Needless to say, I'm very busy. Sometimes I scarcely get everything done. That's why I love the hour of intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. He reminds me to stop and take time to pray and read God's word. His encouragement is great. I carry it with me everywhere I go.
The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker, weekdays at 1 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
What's going on? It's your man, Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the track stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go.
It's natural to want all the blessings God has in store for us. But Dr. Tony Evans says it's more important to want them at the right time. He explains why God's timing is so important as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
There's some things you plan to do for your children, but not now. And the reason you don't do it now is they're not ready for it. They're not ready to get their own car. They're not ready to get their own credit card. They're not ready to get the. It's not because you don't plan to do it at some appropriate point, but you know where they are now, they're not ready for that thing to come to them. But when they show responsibility, when they show character development, then you are willing to invest because you don't want to waste your investment. On a lot of us, if God kept his promise now, we'd waste his promise. That's why it took Abraham 25 years from the time God made the promise to the time God fulfilled the promise. It took 25 years because he wasn't ready for the promise. But if you shrink back, God can't develop you. And if God can't develop you, why is he going to fulfill something in you, to you, for you, and through you if you're not ready to receive it? So in spite of your discouragement and the legitimacy of it, see, don't get me wrong, you can be legitimately discouraged. You can be illegitimately discouraged, but you can be legitimately discouraged because you've been living for God, trying to please God, trying to walk with God, trying to honor God, and God is doing absolutely nothing. Okay, you're legitimately emotionally discouraged. That's just the truth. And don't call it anything else. Don't be lying. Oh, I'm fine. You're lying. He is faithful who promised.
Learn more about dealing with discouragement in Dr. Evans' message collection, The One Another's, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Once again, the music of Covenant Church, the song My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest today, Pastor Kevin Armstrong, the pastor of the King's Dome Worship Center here in Tupelo. Pastor Kevin, as we start this last segment, I'm going to ask if we could start out by if you praying for the church to really rise up and be the church God has called us to be in this day and time, the need for us to be the salt and light, that God wants us to be the light that shines in the darkness, but to be what God is calling us to be.
Amen. Okay. We'll do that. All right. Well, Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For your grace, your mercy, and your loving kindness, even in spite of where we are today, where the church is today, you are still God. You are still faithful.
Jesus.
And everything that you promise will come to pass, because not one jot or tittle, according to the Lord Jesus, will fall to the ground until all things are fulfilled. And that means that even the church in its responsibility, that it will fulfill its responsibility. And so, Father, we pray today that the church all over the world would rise up and seek to understand their role in the universe. In the name of Jesus. And then whatever those areas in our lives that cause us to be divided, that we would be willing to stand up and speak out against those things, become advocates for unity.
Yes.
The reality of what unity really is. And unity doesn't necessarily mean conformity or uniformity. It means there's be unifying around this one principle, that Jesus is Lord and that we are your children.
Thank you.
And so, Father, and as we get closer to this election, and how Satan is doing everything he can to further divide the church, we pray in the name of Jesus that the church will become unified more and more and more like we've never been before, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you for this, Father, that you'll do it. Thank strategically, you. That you'll do it specifically. And Father, we ask you that you'll do it publicly.
Yes.
That Father, the world Jesus. Can see the church, that they're together in one mind and in one accord, even as you said we should be, according to your word. And do it for your glory, Father.
Thank
do
you.
It for your glory. Do it for your glory. And we know that that Satan is defeated. He's already defeated. Jesus conquered him when he said it was finished. And he's doing everything he can to do to keep us divided, but we win at the end according to Revelation. And so, Father, we just thank you that we're going to see things that we've never seen before as it relates to the church. And I thank you, sir, that even as it's not being reported, but there are revival fires that are breaking out all over America and all over the world. Media's not reporting it, but we know that it's happening. And we just thank you, Father, that the church in America can participate in that. In the name of Jesus. So we thank you for this, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of being a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the fact that you called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and each other. And thank you, Lord,
Father,
for the fact that that work is done already. It's not something we're striving. It's something you've already done.
That's right.
Father, more and more help the church to rise up and to walk in the full manifestation of who you've made us to be, and who you've called us to be, and who you've empowered us to be.
Yes, Father.
Father, Lord, you've already done the work, Lord. It's our job just to rise up and be and do your will, Lord. And guide us, Father, in being the praying church you want us to be, Lord. And help empower us to walk in your righteousness. Help us to be wise enough and to grow, to be mature enough to recognize that in the midst of all that we see going on in the world, that no matter what, you're still on your throne.
Mm.
You're just as strong and as powerful as you always have been, Lord.
Father.
And it's our job just to stand on your word and to stand up for what you've called us to do and to
Father.
Be bold enough and courageous enough to speak out against sin and speak out against darkness, and recognizing that whether people realize it or not, it's sin and darkness that destroys makes life difficult.
That's right.
That puts people in bondage. And help us to stand and proclaim that your word is what sets people free.
Yes, Father.
Your truth is what saves us. It's
yes.
what sets us free. It's what helps us grow up and grow strong in you. It's what blesses us. Your word is what everybody needs.
That's right.
Lord, help us to be, again, we're just believing you, Lord, to help us to be everything
Father.
You've called us to be.
Yes, Father.
And Father, Lord, help us to not be fearful. Help us to know, Lord, that even in spite of what we see, and lots of people feel like there's lots of reason to be afraid, you've told us, do not be afraid.
That's right.
You told us, don't fear. And we really have no reason to fear because you,
thank you
are
Father.
God.
Yes.
Because you are Lord.
Yes.
And we thank you and we praise you for that.
Thank you, Father.
Guide us so that to be, guide us and help us to be faithful witnesses every day.
Yes, Father.
Faithfully being watchmen on the wall, speaking out, standing up, and proclaiming your truth and living your truth.
Yes.
And not shrinking back. Thank you, Lord,
Father.
For the chance to be your vessels in this day and time.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, thank you for the fact that we've already won. We thank you and we praise you. In
Jesus'
name we do pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Kevin, are there any other specific things or matters that are on your heart or your mind today before we end our time today that you'd like to touch on.
Yeah, you go back to the kingdom. You know, Jesus came on the scene in Matthew chapter 4, verse 13 says, and the people which sat in darkness, you know, saw great light. Those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. That's verse 15 and 16. And then verse 17 says, and from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when you look at that, and I think most people read when he says it was dark, the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali and those who sat in the region of, you know, lighted, but and it looks like it was physically dark. Mm-hmm. It wasn't spiritually, physically dark. The mm-hmm. darkness that Matthew's talking about, it was spiritually dark. Mm-hmm. And the cause of that darkness was religion. Mm-hmm. And so the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, doctors of the law, had so permeated the environment, the atmosphere with their religious dogma that people had been segmented, fragmented, and even to the point to where, the one Pharisee says, praying in the synagogue, I thank you that you've not made me like other men. You know, even this sinner over here, you know, you remember Jesus praying like that. And so, and that's the atmosphere that Jesus came in. But he came into a system that had two segments. He had came into a religious system that was run by the Jewish elite. And then he came into a governmental system that was run by the Roman government. They were under Roman rule. Mm-hmm. Jesus comes in and he presents the kingdom of God right into between both of those systems. Mm. And both of them were complicit in his persecution and his death. Mm-hmm. And the king, and so where the church, you say pray for courage. The church is afraid to stand up and say the truth, and because we're afraid of the religious elite, and then we're afraid of what the government is going to do. But the king Jesus comes right in the middle of that, mm-hmm. and he still preaches against all sin and everything that was not like God. He didn't care about the Roman government. He didn't care not about Herod, and he didn't care about the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. He came to reintroduce the kingdom of God that Adam lost in Genesis chapter 2. That's mm-hmm. what his assignment was. Mm-hmm. And for 3.5 years, he did that. And so, but then when he goes in Acts 1, The disciples says that in verse 3, Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to us? And Jesus said, it's not given unto you to know the times and which the Father's put in his own plan. Right? Remember, because they're concerned. But they were looking for a physical kingdom. Mm-hmm. 3.5 years, Jesus is with these fellas, and he's preaching a spiritual kingdom. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking he's preaching a physical kingdom. And they were mm-hmm. looking for a king to come back and deliver them from Roman rule, set back up on the throne, just like David and Solomon did at some time. Mm-hmm. But what Jesus came to give back to man was God's original intent, which was Genesis chapter 1. Mm-hmm. But you find it, they finally got it in the book of Acts. And if you look at the book of Acts and read it very carefully, what all of those guys preached was the same thing Jesus preached, was the kingdom of God. The Apostle mm-hmm. Paul, and when he was in a Roman jail, he said that people could come and go, and he preached to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he did. And mm-hmm. and then when the church begins to do that, mm-hmm. we'll see things different. If you preach what Jesus preached, you'll get what he got. Mm-hmm. You can't talk about what he preached. You got to mm-hmm. Do the same thing he did, and you got to say the same thing he said. And that's what he didn't tell the disciples to go talk about what I talked about. No, you mm-hmm. go teach what I taught. Mm-hmm. You know, you go preach mm-hmm. what I preached, and then you go do what I did. And then when you do that, that's when you see them turn the world upside down. And so Wes says, somebody says, we talk about the Christians and how Christians are filled with hate and I said, no, brother, that's not real Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, because real Christianity doesn't hate.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right.
You agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Antioch, Christian people we would call Christians in Antioch, mm-hmm. was not a term of endearment. Mm-hmm. It was given as a derogatory term. Mm-hmm. So we are not Christians. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. When the church understands that, Brother Joseph, then, and because we're being blamed, everybody's saying, well, Muslims are killing folks and Christians, and KKK is a Christian group, and, you know, and this one's a Christian group. No, they're not. You know, I mean, you know, not in the real true sense of what the word is. And
that's
so
right.
And there has to be a distinction made between what's real and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, if you feel with hatred, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, mm-hmm. God is not your father.
And you can,
Satan's
you can,
your daddy.
You can put a label on anything you want.
Absolutely.
But it just means you put a label on something.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the reality of it is the heart of whoever that is.
Absolutely. So you can take a Nike pair of shoes and some that look like it and put a Nike swoosh on it and it's not made by Nike but it doesn't make it a Nike just because it looks like one.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And so and that's what I think that there has to be a distinction in the church. We've got to make that distinction, and the way you do it is mm-hmm. by love.
Mm-hmm.
That you love one another. These two commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the true test of who mm-hmm. a believer or a citizen of the kingdom of God is. And all people who call themselves Christians do mm-hmm. not qualify for that.
That's right.
Yeah, and that has to be the thing that distinguishes those of us who are in the body of Christ and you know, all of these people calling themselves this and calling, you know, so... But we've got to keep praying. We got to keep loving people. We got to keep staying in forgiveness, because until we all, you know, understand this and get to the point to where we can see it, there's going to be some misunderstandings that take place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to be quick to forgive and willing to acknowledge the truth when we see it.
That's right.
And we're finding at this point now that there's a lot of stuff that's going on that some folks just won't acknowledge it as true,
well,
make excuses for it.
Would you close our time, if you take about the last minute or so, just to really pray specifically about what you just mentioned, that the church would understand that we're to be known by the love of God
absolutely.
In our hearts and our lives.
Yeah.
Then, so.
Yeah. Well, Father, we just thank you, and it's easy to pray because
you
know you said in John 14, John 15, this is the way men are going to know that you are my disciples, is that you have love one toward another.
Yes.
And yet you have all of these quote-unquote groups of people who say they love you, but yet they hate their brother. And you said in 1 John, even John said, how is it that you say that you love God whom you've not seen, but yet you say you hate your brother whom you've seen? He said, no, the love of God doesn't dwell in you. And so, Father, I pray that I pray for pastors all over America. That pastors will begin to stand in their pulpits and proclaim the love of God is the true test of who a believer is.
Jesus.
And that if we have respect of persons because of someone's skin color, the love of God does not dwell in us, because you are no respect of person, and you are the God of the whole race. We have one common set of ancestors. Their name is Adam and Eve. We all came from them. And so, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that men and women's eyes will open, and that they will be willing to hear and to see the hard truth. That the black man is my brother, the white man is my sister, and in the name of Jesus, we all have one Father.
Yes.
His name is God. So we thank you for this, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Armstrong, what's the address of Kingstone Church?
2155 McCullough Boulevard, Tupelo, Mississippi, 38801. There on Sunday morning at 10:30 for worship. And 7 o'clock on Wednesday.
Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.